Thoughts just come to me that I guess the first time in my life that I really went to church other than Boy Scout Sunday, because I was always part of Boy Scouts, and one Sunday during February, Boy Scouts normally show up at church services, but the first time I really went to church was an Easter Sunday morning in 1981. I went to find out what it was about, because I knew three friends that went to church, but they didn't tell me where they went to church. And I did some detective work and found out where they went to church. And, well, you go to church, you're supposed to put on the best clothes you got. And I put on my three-piece suit with my long blonde hair, and I went to a casual church. And the three guys that were my friends that were seeking to lead me to Christ never laughed so hard in their life. I actually thought they were going to fall off the chairs they were sitting on. And they never let me live that down. Long blonde curly hair and a nice gray three-piece suit. But that was the first time I actually went to church in my life at age 19. Easter Sunday is an important Sunday. Now, we celebrate Easter really every Sunday, but we make this day special. Listen to these words that Paul shares with the church at Corinth, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of death comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Even to this day, death still has a capture upon us. It still holds on to us, and it causes us to look back. We still worry about dying. And we also are concerned when others are upon that same path. But I want to tell you that the story of Jesus Christ is so important to this understanding, because the story of Jesus Christ tells us something different. You see, for a lot of people, and especially as I hear people from Baptist traditions, they talk about the old rugged cross, and we've sung about it this morning. That I might come to the old rugged cross, and that people need to come to that cross to see what Jesus has done for them. The story of Jesus Christ must continue past the old rugged cross. If it stops at the old rugged cross, we are lost. If it stops at the old rugged cross, we're lost. I can't imagine what it was like for the disciples, some who witnessed Jesus die upon the cross, some who only heard about it because they were afraid to be there. It's really hard to imagine that all of the next day as far as they were concerned, everything was lost. They had just spent years walking with Jesus and watching him teach and watching him preach and perform miracles and healings and raising people from the dead, and now he is dead. They were hiding. They were afraid that someone else was going to come and capture them and take them to the cross. They were afraid. You see, the story for them, they thought, ended at the old rugged cross. At that very moment, that Friday evening and all of what we call Saturday, they thought the story ended there. Yes, I want to bring people to the cross. I want them to be able to see what this cross means. And I also want them to understand that Jesus hung on that cross a very horrible death. It was not a death of capital punishment. It was meant to be agonizing, defeating. It was meant to show people, we don't care about you. And here's the one that they've walked with for 3 years who dies upon that cross, and they didn't understand. You see, I want people to see what happened on the cross, but I also want them to know the story doesn't end there. Many religions around the world have a founder who died. Only one has a founder who's alive. And being alive is not just in spirit. It is not just in spirit. It is also a bodily resurrection. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ shows that death no longer has victory. No longer. Was the tomb opened up so he could get out? No. The tomb was opened up so that we could see not only spirit-wise, but bodily he was resurrected. There was nothing left in the tomb. He was resurrected. He appears among them. He shows himself to them. He shows them the wounds. Now that might not be a totally encouraging thing, because we also will be bodily resurrected. And Jesus was resurrected with his wounds. You see, it's essential that we believe in the bodily resurrection, because now death no longer has victory. Death is now a doorway that we walk through when we believe in Jesus Christ. If you read the scriptures and study the scriptures, you find that it says that Jesus was even alive right the moment after his death. Because it says he actually goes to Hades to talk to the people there and to give them an opportunity and a chance to believe, to release those. But because before Jesus' death and resurrection, the Jewish understanding was not of a heaven and a hell, but was of a place called Sheol, where all people went who died. All. And Jesus goes there to release those that were looking for the promise of him coming. And it says that he also goes there to preach. Death has no victory. Amen? Amen. Hear me. Death has no victory anymore. Christ has been resurrected. The tomb is empty. Now, they're not even sure that the tomb that's celebrated in Jerusalem is the tomb that he was put in. But all the accounts and all the stories say that his body was not there. Janet read for us. What did it say? The angels looked at the women and said, "What are you doing here? He's not here. He has been resurrected, not just in spirit, but also in body." Belief in Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection is essential to our faith because he is the first fruit of the resurrection. He is the first fruit. He is the one who experienced it first. Do you know what that means when I also say first? It means there's going to be others who will experience it also. Because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I also will be bodily resurrected. I'm honest. I hope it comes with a better knee next time. Christ is the first fruits. If we don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, then what's going to happen to us? It's important. Do you realize the Romans were so worried about this that they stationed soldiers around the tomb so that the disciples could not come and steal the body because they had heard the story. Jesus had said, "On the third day, I will be resurrected." They put soldiers here. When the stone was rolled away and the tomb was opened, it said the soldiers were scared to death. Some of them even passed out. Some of the religious leaders got a hold of the guards and said, "We will pay you if you tell the story that his disciples came and stole the body." That's how important this bodily resurrection is. Tell these people. Tell them that they came and stole him. That the body is no longer there. Even when the women came, they're amazed. How could they have been amazed? Because Jesus told them time and time and time again that this would happen. And yet they're amazed. They saw him resurrect other people from the dead. And yet they're amazed. You see, they'd never seen this actually happen before. And the women go back to the men. In this account of the gospel, the women are the first ones to find out. And the women go back to the men and they say, "Someone has stolen his body." Even after the angels told them, "He's been resurrected. He's not here. He's not amongst the dead anymore. He's amongst the living." Now, there's something about this bodily resurrected that is completely different because later, what happens? Later, they're locked in a room and Jesus appears in the room without unlocking and opening the door. Can you imagine what that moment was like? And they're trying to figure out, is this a ghost in front of us? Or is this actually a body? And you know about poor Thomas, right? Thomas says, "Oh, I wasn't there. I'll only believe if I can stick my fingers in the holes in his hands and in his side. That's the only way I'll believe." Thomas must have been from Missouri. Because he said, "Show me. I want to see it. I've got to see it." And Jesus comes and says, "Here I am, Thomas. Go ahead, touch me." He even asked him at one point, "Do you have any fish that I can eat with you?" Bodily resurrected. Not just spirit, not just ghost. Bodily resurrected, the very first fruits. And Paul says in this passage to the Corinthians, if he's the first fruits, others will follow. Amen?
Amen.
You see, we'll experience a bodily resurrection also, just as we experience death through Adam. Death comes to humanity through the story found in the very beginning of the Bible, when they don't follow the rules. When they eat of the tree that they're not supposed to eat of. Only one tree in the whole garden, God says, don't eat from that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and don't eat from that tree. And they eat because they've been deceived. And through Adam comes death. We all still will die a physical death. But if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will also be bodily resurrected. Also. It's not just for this life that Jesus is all about. Because that's how Paul starts out this passage, is that where I started it. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If our faith is only for this life and this time that we walk here on earth and it ends all at death, Paul says that's useless. He says, I'm talking about a faith that lasts forever. I'm talking about a faith that happens not only in spirit, but also in body. Is that not wonderful? Jesus Christ is the first fruit. We experience death and we are influenced by death. And I have people ask me all the time, Pastor, why does this happen? Why does God allow this to happen? Why does this happen? Why does this go on? I can't answer most of those questions. I don't know why. But I know that when death entered into this world by the disobedience of Adam and Eve, that it has an effect on this world. And that it has a far-reaching effect. And someone else's poor choices can affect my life. Why does God allow that to happen? I don't know. But I know this. If I believe in Jesus Christ, I will experience life forever. And that eternal life starts now. It doesn't start after we die. It starts now. It happens now. And I can experience that life now. But it's not just for now. It's also for all eternity. Now, why would somebody say, I don't need that kind of help? Why would somebody say, I don't need that kind of God? Why would somebody say, I don't need to believe in one that was resurrected. I can believe in this system of faith here and I'll be fine. No. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's important to bring people to the old rugged cross, but it's important to walk with them past that point and to show them the empty tomb. And to explain to them about the appearances of Christ. Gosh, even one morning, I love this story in John chapter 21, or chapter 20, I believe it is. I love this story. Peter is kind of the ringleader of everybody. He's the one that will speak up when nobody else will speak up. He's the one that'll ask questions that we might consider stupid questions. But he asks them anyway. He's the one that even goes to Jesus and says, you don't have to die. You got it all wrong, Jesus. And one day after Jesus' death, even though they've seen him, Peter says, you know what? I'm going back to my old way of living. Let's go fishing. Now, let's go fishing is not a bad idea, is it? Let's just go fishing. And they catch an enormous amount of fish by a man from the shore that says, hey, do this. And they get to shore, and you know what Jesus is doing? He's cooking fish for breakfast. And he looks at him and says, do you want some? Now, if he didn't have a bodily resurrection, why is he cooking fish? He's cooking fish. He says, do you want some? Imagine their surprise. That's also the way, time, by the way, that he takes Peter and redeems him from forsaking Jesus three times. He redeems him. And Peter turns it right around and says, well, what about that guy over there? And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, it's about your life with me now. It's about you being my person and going out and letting people know that the story goes past the old rugged cross. That it goes to the empty tomb and the bodily resurrection. I think of it this way. Some may disagree with me. Without the bodily resurrection, there is no reason to have a future hope for us. Without the bodily resurrection, there's no reason to have a future hope for us. Here's why I say that. Because Scripture tells me that there was a bodily resurrection. And Scripture tells me that I will experience the same bodily resurrection. If these events don't happen, then Scripture lies. If the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is not real, and my future bodily resurrection will not be real, then Scripture doesn't tell me the truth. Because look at what Paul says here. He says Jesus Christ was the first fruit. That means there'll be other fruit. That means there'll be others who come. That means there'll be bodily resurrection for us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When you tell the gospel to the people that need to hear it, it needs to be the full story. It needs to be about a son who lived in heaven and said, I will set aside all of my rights. I will set aside all of my privileges as the Son of God, and I will go walk on the earth as humanity walks on the earth. That's mind-blowing for me. It should be something that instructs especially Americans who are so willing to claim, I have my rights. Well, didn't Jesus have his rights? And he says, I give them up so that you can have life. The telling of the gospel needs to tell about what Jesus did during his life, how he taught, how he preached, how he shared, how he healed, how he did miracles. I mean, my gosh, a little boy's lunch feeds how many? 5,000 men plus women and children that weren't counted. The gospel must also tell about what happened in Jesus' last life with the emphasis of what happened on the cross. He died for our sins. Your sins were present the day that Jesus hung on the cross. And your sins were placed upon Him. And at that moment, your sins were atoned for, so that now you can be at one with God. You have a chance to be forgiven. You have a chance to be cleansed. That's part of the gospel story. But don't ever forget telling people about the empty tomb. And in a few weeks, we'll be celebrating His ascension into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit to live among the community of people to provide us. Let me see how many of you remember that we're there this morning. The Holy Spirit does what for us? It dwells within us, and it does what for us? Guidance. Guidance. Class that we had this morning from 9 to 10 o'clock. I went over a little bit this morning, and I still apologize for that. I'm so sorry, Jerry. I put us behind. But it's so exciting to know that God wants to guide us. And that God that wants to guide us is alive, not dead, and has experienced a bodily resurrection. And because of that bodily resurrection, that God wants us to know how to live the spiritual life. Folks, don't forget all the parts of the story when you tell it. It's not just about the old rugged cross. It's about all those other pieces too. But it's especially about the empty tomb. Without the bodily resurrection, there's no reason to have a future hope for us. I want to ask you to think about this question. Do you believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ? And do you believe that you also will be bodily resurrected one day? Do you believe that? Do you live that? Do you let people know about it? Yes, I'll walk through the doorway of death one day, but it's a threshold that I'm going to walk over. And I'll be right in the presence of Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I will finally have an opportunity to see Him face to face. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that day. I'm hoping the day doesn't come anytime soon. But I can't wait for that day. And when it does happen, what a wonderful... Because I'll never die. It's just a doorway I walk through. And I will be bodily resurrected to stand face to face with the one who has called out to me and the one who has said, I love you this much. How about you? Are you looking forward to your bodily resurrection? Are you looking forward to that new body that can walk through locked doors? Are you looking for that new body that still needs nourishment? Still going to be food in heaven, folks. There's going to be a buffet like you've never seen before. And we can graze for all eternity and never gain weight. Do you believe not only in Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection, but do you believe because you believe in what Christ has done for you and because you trust in what Christ has done for you, do you also believe that one day you will be bodily resurrected and be right in the presence of Jesus Christ, your Savior, for all eternity? What a glorious day. That's why we celebrate Easter. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, there's no way we can grab a hold of what you've done for us. There's really no way we can fully understand it. Because you see, even as the disciples walked with you and you talked with them and shared with them about what was going to happen, they couldn't grab a hold of it until it happened. And even then, they struggled with it. And Lord, one day, we're going to have a difficult time grabbing a hold of what you've told us. But once we experience it, what a great and glorious day and moment that will be when we too are bodily resurrected to stand in your presence and to fall on our knees. Because, Lord, you have done so much for us, not just at the cross, not just with the teaching of Jesus Christ, not just with the example of his life, but also with the example of an empty tomb. Praise you, Lord, for he has risen. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.